Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with six race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Deadline for late summer registration is September 22nd. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. When people run and train for marathons, they often fuel their bodies during a workout to help maintain their strength and energy levels. Morgan Russell is training for a marathon, but for her, the stakes are even higher. She has type 1 diabetes, and managing her blood sugar is an important part of everyday life, not just something to think about during intense workouts. Russell was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 12, and she's always been active in athletics, but now she's literally pushing herself to go the extra mile. Along with 29 other runners with type 1 diabetes, she'll be running the New York City Marathon on November 3rd as part of the Beyond Type 1 team. She's also raising money for the nonprofit. She's an assistant cross-country coach at Prairie High School in Cedar Rapids, and she also works with preschoolers, and she is here with me now. Hello, Morgan.
Hello.
Your life sounds pretty exhausting.
Yeah, it's really busy. I go home and I eat and I sleep. That's about it.
Well, I want to go back in time to when you were 12 years old and you were diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. What was happening that sent you to the doctor?
I guess it was a couple weeks leading up to it, but I lost a lot of weight. I probably weighed maybe 55 pounds as a sixth grader, which is smaller than your normal sixth grader. Really dehydrated, going to the bathroom every 10, 15 minutes. And I just felt weak and tired. So my parents decided to take me, and I stayed in the hospital for a week, and kind of my life just changed after that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you remember what it was like to be told that you had type 1 diabetes?
I do remember, because I had no clue what it was. And even going home, I still didn't know what had changed in my body. It was just I had to do all these extra things to make sure I was healthy.
When you were 12, 13, you were in middle school, things have changed even since then as far as how we manage type 1 diabetes. But what was your routine like? What did you have to do on a daily basis to stay healthy?
I know I had to count my carbs before I ate each meal, which that was a learning curve for me, just having to do math every time I ate food, taking injections. Eventually, I got on a pump, so I was able to enter that into my pump, and it would do all the calculations for me. But pricking my finger 4 to 6 times a day and waking up at night because my blood sugar is low. My mom would check me at 3 a.m. every night because she was worried about me. So I would have snacks at night if I was low, and just the little things changed, and it was just weird.
Did anybody else in your family have type 1 diabetes?
My great-grandpa, but he passed away before I was even 12, I think. And then one of my distant relatives has type 1, so not many of us.
You went out for cross-country when you were in middle school. Was that something, were your parents at all worried about that, given your diagnosis?
I'm sure they were. I was always active in sports before I was diagnosed, so they knew I was an active kid. But they just wanted to make sure, I told my coach, and I'm sure my coach was a little worried too. But we kind of figured everything out, and I took care of things, so it wasn't.
What did you have to do as a runner at that age to manage your blood sugar? Did it change dramatically when you were running?
I don't think I noticed as much in middle school. I did a lot of guesswork, which is not the thing to do. It's bad diabetes behavior. But I would have to test my blood sugar before practice, eat a snack if I needed to. If I felt weird when I was running, coach would have my meter and stuff with her. And even during races, that would be different because my blood sugar would spike way up instead of go down during practice because of the adrenaline. And it was a lot to manage for sure.
You stuck with running after high school. Tell me about what role it played in your life as you got older.
After high school, I didn't want to compete anymore like I did in high school. So in college, I would just go out for a run if I was stressed out with homework or anything, or if I just had free time. And then once I graduated college, I kind of wanted just to do something more, see what my body could do. And I ran a half marathon. That was my goal the year after I graduated. So I did one that year, and then I continued to do a couple more each year after that.
Now, running 3 miles in high school for cross country is so different from running a half marathon.
Definitely.
How did you have to change how you managed your diabetes to be able to do a longer distance like that?
I learned a lot because I kind of figured out how insulin and exercise work together. Because if I take insulin right before I run, it's going to make my blood sugar drop more just because the exercise is making that insulin work more effectively. So for longer distances, I have to have more snacks on me or I have to eat something beforehand. Shorter distances, I never really had to worry about that.
Did you think that running a marathon was something that you ever could do?
No, if you would have asked me a year ago, I would have said, no, I'm going to wait for a cure. but then I found an online community of type 1 runners.
So it must have been in your brain. You must have been thinking, how can I?
Yeah, because I didn't know how I was going to manage all of it. I mean, with the technology we have now, it's totally doable. But if I was just on finger pricks, I don't think I would be able to do that.
So tell me about this community of type 1 runners you found.
I found this group called Type 1 Run. It's kind of like a subgroup of Beyond Type 1. And so they have like a Facebook page, an Instagram page, and just like a support group of people who are out there running marathons or ultra marathons, and they all have type 1 diabetes, which I thought was really cool.
So once you found this group, did the idea of running a marathon immediately? You're like, yes.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I want to do this. And then I found the Beyond Type 1 marathon team. I was like, oh, I got to apply for this. This is like a once in a lifetime opportunity. I could go to New York. And I got in. So
tell me what that process was like.
So I had to send in an application video. It was like 1 minute, which that's weird for me. I don't do this kind of stuff. I don't speak in front of people.
I guess you do now.
So I guess I do now. It's just weird. So I had to do a video just talking about myself. And then I had to fill out an application too, which just told them a little bit more about me, where I was from and all of that. So
do you remember when you got word that you were selected?
Yeah, I was at work. Preschoolers were around me. I started freaking out and they just looked at me like, you're kind of crazy. What are you doing? Why are you jumping? So I told them, and they don't really get the whole concept of running a marathon. They just know I run a lot.
Well, why did it mean so much to you to be chosen for this team?
I just think it's so cool to represent Beyond Type 1 and just to encourage people in my community. I haven't really found a lot of runners, like really dedicated runners with type 1 in this community. And I just want to encourage people that they can get out there and be active and do things without having to be afraid of this disease. So,
and it's coming up on November 3rd. Mm-hmm. So you put together a training program. How long have you been training for it?
I'm on week 15 now, I think. I started back in May, I'm pretty sure. So
tell me what your process is when you get ready to go for one of your long runs, or what's the longest you've run now?
The longest, just under 18 miles so
far. All right, and you've got a few 20 milers.
Yeah, I have
up.
Those coming up. Those will be fun.
All right, so when you're going to go for such a long run, mm-hmm. as I mentioned earlier, anybody running a distance like that, their blood sugar is kind of all over the place. And you know, we've all got our packets of goo or
definitely
blocks
yeah.
or drinks, all kinds of different things that people use to fuel their body. What is your process, given that you have type 1 diabetes?
So I've got a good routine down. I wake up, is it like 3 to 4 hours before I'm going to run, because I plan what time I'm going to run. And so I eat my typical breakfast. I keep it the same every time. I do it 3 to 4 hours beforehand. That way my insulin has time to get through my system and work, and that way I have fuel in me. So then I go back to sleep for like another hour.
Okay, so you have to get up basically in the middle
up,
of the night.
Eat, go to sleep.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I'll wake up again. Usually I have like a piece of bread with peanut butter on it before I head out. And then I kind of just check my sugars every 30 to 45 minutes. And then I have my Humas or whatever the gel things are. So, and those have worked out pretty well.
All right. And when you're running, you have a constant monitor on you, so you can just check on your phone or on your
watch?
I do,
yeah. So I don't have to do finger pricks when I'm running. I actually don't have to do them at all, really, with the technology that I have, which is amazing. So I check my phone and my blood sugar, it's just right there on my screen. I don't have to unlock it or anything. So I just check that every 30 to 45 minutes, and it tells me my blood sugar every 5 minutes.
Have you ever had a difficult situation when you're out running because of that?
Recently, no. I've done so many long runs now that I kind of have everything down to the wire. But when I was training like last year and stuff for half marathons, some of my long runs, my blood sugar would drop really low. And so I'd have to like stop mid-run and eat, and some runs I couldn't finish. So it's been a learning process.
What does that feel like physically when your blood sugar drops really low?
Recently, I can feel it when I'm running. I can feel it in my eyes. I don't know. They get heavy for some reason. That's been my recent trigger to tell me that my blood sugar is dropping. It changes like every couple months or so. But when I do get low, I just feel weak and shaky and just not totally there. So.
And so that tells you that you need to stop and check things out.
Yep, yep. Usually I try to have something so I prevent those lows. I try to eat something beforehand. So.
And then if you get into a situation like that and you carry things with you so that you can eat something that can bring your blood sugar back up, how long does it take before you can run again?
So I haven't stopped at all during my runs recently. I figured out when I do take my gels, they take about 2.5 miles to actually kick in. So I wait those 2.5 miles, and if it hasn't gone up or anything, I'll take another one and just keep going with that.
It sounds like a lot of thinking.
Definitely.
While you're running.
So I don't listen to music, so I'm just thinking about life and everything.
Does needing to monitor yourself so closely, do you feel like that makes running harder?
Oh, sometimes it does. Sometimes I forget about it too. Like if I'm just having a really good run, I kind of zone out and forget I have diabetes, which is kind of odd to think. But I don't know. It's just my go-to place. It's my place of zen. So
now that you're on this team, do you have a lot of contact with the other people that are on the team?
I do. Yeah, we have a Facebook group that we connect with. It's a private group, so nobody else can get into it. So we share ideas and encouragement.
What does that feel like to be a part of this community, all these runners who are dealing with the same challenge as you?
It's really cool because everybody's different. Not everyone has the same runs. Not everyone's at the same level, but we're all striving for the same goal. We want to finish a marathon with type 1 diabetes and encourage others to get out there and be active.
Well, thinking back to when you were in middle school, you were the only one mm-hmm. with type 1 diabetes. So what does it mean now to have all of these people who understand you in a new way?
Yeah, it's just like automatic friends. Whenever a type 1 diabetic meets another one, we're just automatically friends. And it's really cool because we have something to talk about immediately.
Are you hoping to send a message to other people with type 1 diabetes by doing this run about what they're capable of?
I'm hoping so. I want people to not think that they have to be limited because they have this disease. I just want them to just take a step forward, try new things, and know that it might be difficult at first, but we can do stuff and we can live a life just like other people can. So,
how will you interact with your team at the marathon? What's the plan?
I don't even know. I know we have a team breakfast Saturday morning, which will be really fun. It'll be good to meet everyone. And a lot of us are staying at the same hotel, and then we're taking a bus to the race in the morning. So it'll be really cool to meet everyone and hear everyone's stories.
Yeah. And you mentioned, I mean, you're all different runners. You're all at different levels. Have you identified anybody who runs about the same pace as you? Do you think you'll be running with somebody from beyond type 1?
I don't know. I haven't really found anyone, but if I don't, there's like 45,000 people out there running at the same time. So,
well, that's yep. the thing. So there are like 50,000 people at the marathon, with 52,000 finishers in 2018. And you've never been to New York City?
No, I have not.
All right. What are your thoughts about running in a crowd like that?
Oh, I'm glad we'll all be going in the same direction. That's for sure. I won't have to fight crowds as much. But a lot of people overwhelm me. So I'm kind of nervous about that.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
I'm excited to see the city.
On the marathon course, I mean, the fact that there will be at least 30 people who are running with type 1 diabetes, is there any special support set up for you?
Yeah, I know Beyond Type 1 is going to have, they're going to try to set up in a couple places on the route to cheer us on. So they'll have a group of people there to support us.
All right. And do you, I mean, this will be the farthest that you've ever run. Are you worried about managing your blood sugar over that kind of distance?
I don't think so. My longest run, they were both really successful. My two longest runs have been. So I think the excitement might change things that day, but I think I'll be able to manage it okay.
Yeah.
At least I'm hoping so.
So how does doing this, you haven't run the marathon yet, but you've run a really long way already. How does it change how you think about yourself?
Makes me think I can do more than what I think I can. So I'm just trying to push myself to see how much farther I can go. If I finish this one, I already have a couple marathons I'm thinking of next year. So
really, which ones do you have your eye on?
I do want to do Crandic because it's a hometown one.
Yeah.
And it's coming down, starting in Cedar Rapids and coming down here this year. At least I think so. And then I think there's a couple in the fall I want to do. I was going to do Minnesota if I didn't get into New York. So
you're also raising money to help people with type 1 diabetes. So this has become part of the mission, not just running the marathon, but was that something you were involved in before doing this? Were you involved in trying to help other people with type 1?
Every once in a while, I would do the JDRF walk to raise money. It was never that much money, but I still raise some. Other than that, not really. I'm trying to get more involved in my community and more involved with JDRF in our community. So Beyond Type 1 is like my next big step forward and trying to help others.
Coaching high school and middle school kids in cross country now, as you do, do you think that training for a marathon has changed how you coach?
I definitely think so. I've learned a lot about training myself these past 15 weeks. So it's not totally the same as cross country training because I'm running more, but there's a lot of similarities, and just the mental side of it, I can really relate to that because I know running is just hard mentally besides physically. So
yeah, is it sometimes hard to take some of the complaints seriously when they're doing 2 miles and you've just run 18?
I try not to take it too seriously. I know my body is accustomed to running more than they are, and so they work super hard. They do. I'm excited to see them run tomorrow. We have our first meet, so that'll be really good to see them show what they've worked for.
Yeah, that is exciting. Do they know you're training for a marathon?
I think some of them do. Some of them have asked me if I'm training for anything, and I tell them and they're like, oh wow. So I don't know, it's like a full-time job with my other full-time job. And
yeah. Yeah, well, I'm sure they're all really excited for you.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
they will be once they all know.
Definitely.
Too.
Yeah, I think they're all going to follow me on the online tracking things.
So. Oh, cool. So they can get your bib number and follow along.
Yeah.
That's very exciting. Well, Morgan, best of luck. And thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Morgan Russell of Cedar Rapids. She is training for the New York City Marathon, her first marathon, and she'll be running with the Beyond Type 1 team to raise awareness about type 1 diabetes and also to raise money to help those who live with it. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Caitlin Harrop, Rick Brewer, Dennis Reese, and we welcome Matt Alvarez to the team this week. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbie.